This week we have not one, but two parshiot. And it happens to be the final two parshiot of the third book of the Torah, Sefer Vayikra. We read about Parshas Bahar, which discusses overwhelmingly the mitzvah of Shemitah and how we have to treat the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael, along with lots of other things. And then from there we go into Parshas Bechukeisei. In this parsha, we hear about consequences. What is the result of good behavior, of holy behavior, of righteous behavior, and chas v'shalom the opposite. So Revi, the fourth day, the fourth reading from the Yehavah Mechobarim, always conjoins the two parshas. We conclude Parshas Bahar, and we begin Parshas Bechukeisei. How do we finish the parsha of Bahar? Not about Shemitah necessarily. We talk about the idea of rejection of idolatry. We talk about the idea of Shabbat, revering the Beis HaMikdash. And from there, the Torah says, Parshas Bechukeisei, the beginning, Im Bechukeisei Teilecho, if in my statutes you will walk, V'es Mitzvaisai Tishmeru, and my mitzvahs you will keep, V'asisem Oisem, and you will do them. So the obvious question is, what is the meaning of Im Bechukeisei Teilecho, if in my statutes you will walk? So I have an obvious question. Why is it an obvious question? Because Bechukeisei is a general term. So, and then it says, Mitzvaisai Tishmeru, my mitzvot you're going to keep. So here we say this idea of my statutes walking and my mitzvahs keeping. So we have to know what's going on here. What is this talking about? So Rabbeinu Bechaya takes the approach that Parshas Bechukeisei is a continuation of Parshas Bahar, which actually this week it works out that way. It's a conjuncted Parsha. He says, you have to walk in the statutes of Shemitah, which is the fields lying fallow in the Holy Land of Israel, of the Jubilee, which we were commanded in the previous Parsha. So basically, the Torah is telling us, if you treat Israel right, Israel will treat you right. If you're good to Israel, Israel will be good to you. Treat the land the way the land should be treated. You'll be able to enjoy the land. You'll be able to enjoy the fruits of the land. If you don't treat Israel right, if you don't treat this gift that I give you properly, well, then you're not going to be able to hold on to the land. And indeed, what does the next verse say? In Bechukeisei Teilecho, verse 3 talks about Hashem telling us that if you will walk in my statutes, if you will keep my mitzvahs, if you will do them, what's the next words? V'nasati gishmeichem be'itam. I will give you rainfall in its appropriate time. V'nasna ha'aretz yevula. And the land will give its produce. V'eitz asad yitim piri. And the trees will give their fruits. So we're talking about land, and we're talking about harvest, and we're talking about trees, and we're talking about fruits. So obviously we're talking about the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael. Isn't it a natural that we talked about Shemitah before, if we talked about the idea of the land of Israel lying fallow, and the land of Israel being treated specially because it's a holy and a sanctified land, that if you'll do that, so then you'll have plenty of prosperity. Then the field will give its harvest, the trees will give their fruit, you'll have everything that you need. So that's Rabbeinu Bechaya's approach. And the truth is, the Chizkuni also says something similar. He says, you treat the land the way it should be treated, and it'll treat you the way you want to be treated. You take care, you revere the land, and treat it as it's supposed to be, a holy land, and the land will provide for you everything that it is supposed to do. A no-brainer. What's the problem with that? Well, the problem with that is, why is it a new parsha? And why is it Bechukeisei? Why don't we just say what it is? You had a whole parsha before. You weren't shy about talking about Shemitah and Yevil. Shouldn't it make sense that immediately after talking about Shemitah and Yevil, Hashem should say that if you'll keep Shemitah and Yevil, then things will be good in Eretz Yisrael? Instead, the parsha ends on a different subject. And then we go back and we say, Im Bechukeisei Teilecho, if you walk in my statutes, oh, then it's going to be good in the land of Israel. Why don't you say that when you're talking about the land of Israel? So Rashi actually does not take this approach at all. Rashi says this is not necessarily connected to the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael, but instead, let's take a look inside. When you read the words, Im Bechukeisei Teilecho, if you'll walk in my statutes, says Rashi, how does somebody interpret that? What does somebody assume? Come along and say, the Torah said, if you walk in my statutes. So he said, Yochel, you would have thought that Zekiyum HaMitzvahs, this is the first doing mitzvahs. Okay, well, I don't know why it calls it Bechukeisei, but Bechukeisei Teilecho is a poetic, a euphemistic expression that would mean to do the mitzvahs. Well, there's a problem. What's the problem? The next three words are a problem. If the first three words mean if you do the mitzvahs, How do you understand the next two words? Kishu Eimer Ves Mitzvah Tishmeru, that you keep my mitzvahs. Hare Kiyom Mitzvahs Amor. The Torah specifically and pointedly states the idea of keeping mitzvahs. So if B'chukaisi Tilechu means keeping mitzvahs, then we have a totally unnecessary redundancy. We have B'chukaisi Tilechu, keep the mitzvahs. Ves Mitzvah Tishmeru, and keep the mitzvahs. It said the same thing twice. What's the point? You say, keep the mitzvahs, and then again, keep the mitzvahs. So those three words are revealing. They tell us that the first three words of the parsha cannot mean keep the mitzvahs. Hamani mekayim. So then, how do I figure this out? How do I explain it? The words of mechukai se'telechu. And so, Rashi quotes the Safra, also the similar idea brought down in Teres Koyanim, and he says, mechukai se'telechu means that it's not just the keeping of mitzvahs, but p'tiyu ameilim b'toyra, that you'll toil in the study of Torah. So what Hashem is telling us is, if you'll toil in the study of Torah, and you'll keep the mitzvahs, and you'll do them, then v'nasna gishmeichem be'itam, then the land will give all of its produce, and you'll be able to enjoy the many gifts that Hashem sends your way. Now the Ur HaChaim follows in the footsteps of Rashi, and he takes the idea and develops it further, and he says, so why does it say b'chukoi sai? Lashon Rabin, it should say in bechuka, it's bechukoi sai, plural. So he says, I'll tell you why. Because when it comes to Torah study, there's the Torah shebichtav, there's the scripture, the written Torah, and then there's Torah shebal peh, there's the oral Torah. And what's being told to us is you have to toil in both. A person can't say, I'm an expert in the scripture. So but how about the Mishnah and Gemara? How about Sefer Sefer Mechilta? How about the Zohar? How about the Medrash Rabbah? No, I don't do that. That's rabbis made it up. That's not. I just stick with the Bible. No good. A person who says I learned all the Talmud. You ever learned the Chumash? No, I have no time for the Chumash. It's too wordy. It's too scriptury. It's no such thing. You have to have the Torah comes together. Like the Rambam says in the Hakdama of Mishnah Torah in his preface to his magnum opus, the book of all the halachas of Torah, he says, HaTorah in Pirusha Nitna. The Torah was given with the interpretation. And that's called the HaMitzvah. The mitzvah actually is a reference to the oral Torah in the Rambam's words. So bottom line, that's why I would say this in a plural time. And it means studying Torah. Or Chaim says something else. But interestingly, before I introduce the next words of Arachayim, I'll share with you the words of the Kliyakar. The Kliyakar says, Bechukaisa Telechu refers specifically to mitzvahs. He says, why? Why Bechukaisa? So the Kliyakar says, because we have this idea of being koveh itim l'Torah, of setting aside a time to study Torah. And the time should be chok velo yavar, set aside a time. It's the law. Lay down the rule. Here's when I study Torah, and nothing is going to change it. This is the Torah I study every day. Whether it's an allotment or a certain amount of Torah I study, whether it's a time in which I study Torah, this is what I do. It's not an optional. This is my schedule. This is who I am. It's chok. It's established. So he says, okay, good. So then it fits the words b'chukotai telechu. Because how should we study Torah? In a way of chok velo yaver. In a way of this is the Torah I study, nothing is getting in the way of it. So the Aruch Chaim says, very nice. And when does a person have to study Torah? Assuming a person is busy making a living and doing all the things that are required in the material world before Mashiach comes. Mashiach comes, you can study Torah all day. Up until then, there's a struggle, there's issues. Not so simple. So what does a person have to do? It says, v'hagisimba, you toil in them, you immerse yourself in them, yomam v'layla, day and night. And in fact, there is a halacha that says that there has to be a kviyas itim, a set-aside time for Torah study, and it has to be bayom. It has to be balayla. It has to be during the day. It has to be during the night. So the Aruch Chaim says, perfect. And that's why we have this idea of b'chukoisai, plural. In b'chukoisai telechu means, I don't study Torah during the day only. I study Torah during the day, and I study Torah during the night. And finally, the Aruch Chaim says, there's a third thing being alluded to here in the plurality of the word b'chukoisai. And he says, when it comes to Torah study, one can study Torah themselves, and one can teach others Torah. Both are Torah study. So a person might say, I like studying Torah myself. I can't bother teaching people. If I teach people, I have to lower myself into their level. I have to waste time explaining things to them. I got no patience for that. I'm going to study Torah in the manner that I can study Torah, in the way I can study Torah best. And if I'm going to study Torah and put myself into it, I'm going to have great success. Or another person will say, I can't marshal my abilities and study Torah. I'll teach others. I'll spend time teaching. Yeah, it doesn't take too much effort for me. I'm learning the same thing again and again, but it's fine. At least I'm spending my time doing good things. Baruch Haim says both are mistaken, because each is necessary. It's necessary for a person to grow in Torah, to a person to expand his or her horizons when they're studying Torah, and it's also necessary that you teach and share the Torah that you learn with somebody else. So now we have three reasons for the redundancy, why I would say b'chukotai, right? So following the idea that Rashi says, b'chukotai teilechu means I should walk in my statutes, means shetiyo amelim b'teira. Amelim b'teira, Kliyokar says, the concept of chokva lo yaver, setting that time aside, boring it, as if nailing it, so to speak, down. That should never be budged and nothing will change it. And the Aruch Chaim explaining to us how the redundant, the seeming plurality, unnecessary plurality of b'chukosai, because it doesn't say Torah soy, it says my Torah, is necessary because it communicates to us how Torah must be studied Baal Peh and b'chsav, b'yom u'b'alayla, both the written, the oral, by day and by night. And finally, l'lmaid u'l'lamaid, to learn yourself as well as to learn with others. And how should I be studying Torah? So Rashi says, what is the meaning then of v'es mitzvosai tishmeru, and the mitzvahs I'll keep? So Rashi says, you know what kind of Torah study you should do? Havu amelim b'Torah. You should study Torah. Amenas lishmer ulekayim. The Torah you study should not just be an academic pursuit, something of interest, a way to get educated or smart or insightful, but rather the Torah is being studied with a sense of reverence and awe, with an eye towards obedience. If I study Torah, if I learn Torah, I have to take the Torah that I learned and studied, the knowledge that I acquired, and I have to apply it into practical action. I have to do something about it. Rashi continues to say, as it is written, it says you should learn them, and then the Chumash and Dvarim, the beginning of Dvarim continues and says, Ushmartem la soisam. It's in Parshas Vaschanan. It says, and then you keep them to do them. So it's not enough only to study Torah, but the Torah has to be studied in a way that I have the intent of putting the knowledge and the wisdom to action. It's not just a Torah which is studied because I study. I'm studying so that I can actualize, so that I can learn, so that I can obey. The Aruch Chaim adds to this. He says, Iker iskechem b'Torah. The primary focus of Torah. It's not just that I also study Torah for that. That has to be the primary, is what Rashi really means. It's possible sometimes that a person studies Torah, what's called lahagdol Torah, lahadira. Sometimes you learn Torah just to broaden the scope of your understanding, and the ideas are not going to be applied in a practical way because there's certain parts of Torah which have no actual practical expression, either because the realities we're talking about are simply different today. You're learning about offerings, korbanot. We don't have it based on Mikdash. How could you do it? Or maybe some mitzvahs that are never going to happen. Like there's a mitzvah of Ben Sorer Umorah, the rebellious son. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen that somebody should be so rebellious and is going to make every single one of those conditions, meet every condition, so he should be able to meet his bitter and terrible end. It's never going to happen. So why am I studying it? The Gemara asks the question. So why do I have this such an idea in Torah? And the Gemara's answer is, Drosh v'kibel schar. You should study and you'll receive reward. You're studying Torah. So Aruch Chaim says, of course. Of course there are ideas in Torah which are not going to be applied in practice, in the concrete. Nonetheless, Iker iskechem, the primary focus of Torah is how am I supposed to take what I learned and bring it into Maisa B'Pel, into action. Incidentally, there's a very interesting statement in Hayom Yom about the learning of Chassidus, which for the most part speaks the language of divinity. It speaks about God, that, you know, the science of Godhood. And the point of the Hayom Yom is that if you study about God, just like spiritual academic pursuit, you miss the point. That Chassidus expects of us to translate everything we learned into some kind of practical reality. I've learned, I'm inspired. What does it mean for me on a practical basis? How will I do something differently today because of what I learned? And that's how a person learns Torah. I learn Torah, I acquire a level of Torah. What does it mean to me? How does it change me? Because ultimately, the Torah has to change a person.
If a person takes a course in Jewish studies at the university, it's not really...
You said it, so I'm going to talk about it. You asked a question, if a person takes a course in Jewish studies at university, I know this will maybe offend a lot of people, and I have no intention to offend, but I do not believe that that is the right thing to do. You want to study Torah, you should go to a yeshiva. You want to learn dentistry, you go to college, go to university, learn how to be a dentist, learn how to be a doctor, learn how to be a lawyer, learn how to be an accountant. The reason that a person should go to study secular studies is because to make a living. You're gaining the knowledge, the know-how of how to do things. It's Torah? Torah. I don't need to learn Torah from somebody who violates the Torah, doesn't care, or even somebody maybe who does keep the Torah in his own personal life. But the learning of the Torah is for academic purposes. That's not Torah study. Academic Torah, not kosher. Torah is always with an eye for practice, which means everything from halachas to the philosophy to even the history and stories and the spiritual teachings of Torah, all of them have to be applied to practice. How does it make me a better person? What can I do as a result of the Torah that I studied? So now we have a quality assurance. You want your Torah to be effective. What's necessary? What's necessary is that it shouldn't be academic. What's necessary is that it has to be the kind of Torah that's studied, which is with an eye to practice, that Torah studied with an awe, with a reverence, knowing that this is a holy and a sacred document, that when we study this Torah, we're actually doing a mitzvah. Actually, we're fulfilling a divine commandment. Just like when we eat matzah on Pesach, nobody eats matzah on Pesach just because they're hungry. I don't think so anyway. So why are you eating matzah? Well, I'm just hungry. There are more tasty things to eat. There are more, perhaps more filling things to eat. So why does a person eat matzah? He's not going to tell you because he loves it. He eats matzah because Hashem says to eat matzah. A person keeps Shabbos. So I just need a vacation. There are nicer ways to vacation. You need a vacation, so that's why you spent several hours in shul, and that's why you didn't do all your fun activities and all your hobbies, because you need a vacation? Yeah, I need a vacation. No, that's not why we keep Shabbat. We keep Shabbat because Shabbat Kodesh, because it's Hashem's day of rest, because it's a sacred duty, and so on and so forth. Nobody listens to the shofar because it sounds beautiful. He can't get over the gorgeous sound of the notes of the shofar that come in such perfect synchronicity and such harmony. It's like a symphony. Can't wait to go and listen to it. It's baloney. There's no such thing. Why does a person listen to the shofar? Because it's Rosh Hashanah. And Hashem told me I should listen to the shofar. That's why. So in the same way, we do these mitzvahs because Hashem told us to do the mitzvahs, not because we necessarily enjoy these mitzvahs. We study Torah not because it's academically edifying, because it's inspiring, because it's interesting, because it makes me feel good. Why do we study the Torah? We study Torah because it's Hashem's Torah. We do it with an act of reverence, with an act of religious devotion, as an act of spiritual commitment to Hashem, and always with an eye to actualize, with an eye to do.
So why is the chok emphasized before the mitzvah?
Sure. Very good. So why is the chok emphasized? So that's why Rashi actually explains that ves mitzvah se tishmeru is really a continuation of Torah study here. It's just telling you what kind of bichukai se teilecha, what kind of amelim batera, what kind of toil in Torah should there be? The kind of toil of Torah which brings you to es mitzvah se tishmeru, that you keep the mitzvahs. And furthermore, not just you keep the mitzvahs, but va'asisa meisam. That's exactly what Rashi explains. Rashi says a second time, hevu amelim batera. In the first commentary, in the first thing Rashi says, what does it mean? Havoy Melu Mateira. In the second commentary, he repeats the words a second time. He says, Havoy Melu Mateira. What kind of a Melu Mateira? What kind of a Mateira? Amenas Lishmer Lekayim. So really, this ultimately boils down to Torah, which many of the other Mefarshim that I explain this way. Why? For the simple reason that a chok is a particular kind of mitzvah.
What does Tishmeru mean as opposed to Asitim?
What does Tishmeru mean as opposed to Asitim? If I, in a very, very simple level, if I ask you to be mindful of something or to watch out for something, even if you didn't do anything about it, but the very fact that you're being mindful of it, that it's something which you're watching, you're keeping an eye on, that's already meaningful. But then it has to go further. It's not just to be mindful of it. It's not just keep an eye on things. You actually have to do it. It means carrying it down to the lowest common denominator. And that's what the Torah says. That is our key to be able to receive all of Hashem's blessings. But perhaps even more so, that's our key to success in Torah study. If that's the way I study Torah, that's the way I'll be successful. So the reality is that the word chukah is a word that's used to describe a certain kind of mitzvah. It's a reality. Like the Shem Olam says that there are mitzvahs which are gzerot, the mitzvahs are decrees. We don't really know the reason for them. There are mitzvahs which are edut, mitzvahs which are testimonials. And he says, for example, Shabbat Yom Tov. Shabbat is something which bears testimony to the notion that God is constantly creating the world and that the world is not an accident. He says the idea of Shabbat is a testimony for Yetzias Mitzrayim, that God continues to remain involved in his world. And then there's Mishpatim. There's the Mishpatim which have been Adam Lachavero, the Mishpatim between one person and another. So this is the, let's like and that could also be mitzvahs. So according to the Shem Olam, it's B'chukosai is talking about one extreme, and mitzvosai is talking about the other extreme. B'chukosai is talking about the concept of mitzvahs I don't understand at all. I do only as an act of love and devotion and loyalty to God. And mitzvosai is talking about the mitzvahs which are interpersonal, which I do, how I treat others and so on and so forth. Very rational, very logical. Things which many other people would do anyway and say this is what morality is all about. So that's what Hashem Olam learns pshat. But Rashi clearly seems to reject that. And most of the other Rishonim reject that as well. And the two interpretations are one or the other. One interpretation is that this is referring to Shemitah and Yovel, and that's why it's called Chukosai, because it doesn't make sense that the country should grind to a halt every 7 years, and what are we going to eat, and so on and so forth. And the interpretation that Rashi favors, which the Kli Yoker and the Erechaim both follow in his footsteps and develop this idea, is the concept of B'chukosai Shetiyu Amelim, the toil in Torah. Now, up until this point, the quality assurance for maximum success in Torah study has been, what did we learn? You want to succeed in Torah study. What do you need to do?
Set time
every day. More importantly, what does the pasuk say?
Practice.
B'chukosai alludes to set times in every day. But the pasuk emphasizes to do it. So I have to do it in the way of kvias. I have to make the time. Then I'll study Torah when I'll have time. And number two, the pasuk openly says and emphasizes the idea of with an eye to keeping it. You got to do it. You just learn. It's not an academic pursuit.
In that kind of case, the matam is also doing it. So it's redundant.
No, the matam is teaching it to others.
Teaching to others, yeah.
I say what you're saying, Rasisim Isam. That's why I told Nathan on a simple level, Tishmeru means to watch out, to be mindful of these things, and Rasisim is actually to do them. For example, it says that Yaakov Avinu never violated the Torah. But we read he remarried two sisters. How could that's for sure a violation of the Torah. So the answer is he was mindful of that violation. He had no choice. As we explained in one of our classes recently. The whole idea was that Yaakov made a promise to Rachel. Once he made that promise to Rachel, then he inadvertently married Leah. He had no choice anymore. He made the promise. So according to the law, he's duty-bound to marry Rachel. If he's duty-bound to marry Rachel, he couldn't say, well, I have a stringency, and my stringency of keeping mitzvahs allows me to supersede my legal obligations. So it doesn't say Yaakov kept the mitzvahs. He was shomer. He watched out to them. He was mindful of them. Sometimes the shmira, sometimes the being mindful of a mitzvah is by violating it, or so it seems. Sometimes the way to keep Shabbos is to violate Shabbos to save a life. That's how you're actually keeping Shabbos. So you have to be mindful of the mitzvahs. But, you know, the real emphasis, v'asisim isim, the bottom line is carry it down to the lowest common denominator. Make sure you act on these things. So again, the quality assurances we've received so far, you want to be sure your Torah studies be successful. You want to be sure that you're going to throw yourself into the Torah study. You want to be sure it's going to be meaningful. You learned a lot of things. And make sure it's on a regular basis. We have to make sure that it's with an eye to action. Kli Yoker told Arachayim also told us about the idea of you have to be learning both the scripture as well as the oral Torah. We have this idea of learning day, learning at night. We have this idea of learning yourself and teaching others. It's all part of quality assurance. So the Rebbe, in the opening commentary on Parshas B'chukosai in the Sefer Biuri HaChumash, in a teaching which is lifted from the famous series of Lakuta Sichas, the Rebbe talks about the fact that B'chukosai alludes to a particular kind of mitzvah. As we just said in the name of the Shem Olam, it's the kind of mitzvah that we don't understand. The kind of mitzvah that isn't rational for us. It's a gzeder, it's a decree. So why do I do it? Well, because God said I should do it, that's why I do it. Not because I understand it. So the Rebbe says, Yesh Lisha, we could ask about this opening. This first blush of the parsha, Madua misyachas akosav le mitzvahs bekinei chukim. Why would the Torah refer to like mitzvahs, to Yiddishkeit? Why call it chukim? Why bechukosai bovad? That becomes the name of the parsha. That becomes the name in the face of everything from toil of Torah to fulfillment of mitzvahs. Because as Rashi explains it, in bechukosai telechu ve'es mitzvosai tishmeru is a continuation of bechukosai. If the bechukosai will be walked in, what does that mean to be walking? Atmi amelim b'teira. What does it mean to be amelim b'teira, to toil in Torah? It means that mitzvosai tishmeru, that the mitzvahs are going to be done. So bechukosai then means mitzvahs. That's how we talk about mitzvahs. So the Rebbe asks a question, why emphasize this non-rational element of the mitzvah? Why emphasize the obedience element of the mitzvah? Why emphasize the mitzvah which is as a gezeirah, as a decree? Why not emphasize the mitzvah? I don't know. There are many names for mitzvahs. Why not use the broader name, mitzvah? We know that mitzvahs mischalekes l'shleisha sugim. There are three kinds of mitzvahs. There are edus, there are testimonies that we just said from the Shema Ilam. There's chukim, the statutes, the mishpatim. V'yashleimar. So the Rebbe says, here's his suggestion. Shebekach melamdeinu akasuf. The Torah is trying to tell us something. That kiyuman shel kol ha-mitzvahs, the fulfillment, the actualization, the doing of all the mitzvahs, on every level, the ones that are testimonial, the ones that are rational and understandable, the statutes that you can relate to. All mitzvahs have to be done in a chukim-like fashion. Why? Why do mitzvahs have to be done in a way of, this is what it says, I have to do it? Why can't mitzvahs be done in a manner of, well, this makes sense to me. I like this. This makes me feel good. Rebbe explains. Kishem shekiyumen shalachukim. Just like when a person fulfills the statutes. Hamitzvahs, which are namely the mitzvahs, she'enam nitones lahavanesichlis, the mitzvahs we can't really understand, we can't really wrap our heads around. And how do you do such a mitzvah? With pleasure and joy? No, you do it with Kabbalah Seil. You simply accept the will of Hashem. It's mitoich Kabbalah Seil malchus shemayim bovad. So it is written, so shall be done. Yes, sir. That's what God says. That's what I'm going to do. As one wise person said, which part of thou shalt not understand? Did you not understand? I did not have to understand it. What do you have to understand? The Torah is very clear what it said not to do. So don't do it. But I like doing it. No, don't do it anyway. Why would I not do it anyway? If I like doing it, it makes me feel good. It lights my candle and it makes me excited. Why would I not do it? Because God said, what is that? It's an act of Kabbalah Seil. It's an act of obedience. It's an act of commitment. Because God said, so I'm not going to do it. So, kach aleinu l'kayim es kol ha-mitzvahs. Guess what? All of the mitzvahs have to be filled away, including the mitzvahs that you enjoy and have a passion and fervor for, including the mitzvahs that make you feel good, the mitzvahs you can identify with. It doesn't make a difference. Mitzvahs have to be done ultimately out of an act, as an act of loyalty and devotion to Hashem. Gam ha-edos, including the testimonials, the ha-mishpatim, and the ordinances which are rational, or you can relate to them, they make sense to you. Ultimately, mitzvahs have to be done rak meteich kabbalas oil. A mitzvah has to be done out of obedience. A tzius l'rotzen abeira, a readiness, a preparedness to simply listen to the command of the Creator. V'lei mishum heigoyin mechayev es kiyuma, not because logic or rationality necessitates my conclusion that this is a good thing. So it's not the conclusion I come to after contemplating it, but rather it's the obedience, it's listening to Hashem. There are some people who think that mitzvahs don't have to be done right away. First learn Torah. Learn Torah, you come to the appreciation of Torah, you understand what Torah is, then you'll be ready to do mitzvahs. The Rebbe's approach was radically different. The Rebbe said, you find the Yid, give him a mitzvah. But he doesn't know what he's doing. No, he'll learn what he's doing. The first thing is the mitzvah itself. And actually, it's not the Rebbe's chiddush. Unfortunately, the Rebbe had to emphasize it, and people had to argue with that and do things the other way. But when we got to Torah, what was the first thing we said?
Nasa.
Nasa. We'll obey. We didn't say Nishma, we'll learn, and after spending a few months in the yeshiva, then maybe I'll put on tefillin. We said Nasa. Now the Rebbe says something marvelous. Lefize yuvin gam hemshcha kosov im b'chukoyse, it says, it doesn't just say b'chukoyse, but it says teilechu. The Torah uses a noun, b'chukoyse. The Torah then uses a verb, teilechu. What are you going to do about this noun? What are you going to do about this chukah? The answer is, I'm going to teilechu the chukah. What does it mean to teilechu it? What does it mean? Adam alo l'achshev, a person might think, kiyum ha-mitzvahs mitech tzias v'kabbalah seil, fulfilling mitzvahs out of obedience, not because I identify with or enjoy it. That's like, hu behechre chaser chiyus v'netul regesh. It's kind of lifeless. It's kind of feelingless, passionless, emotionless. I'm not really there. I'm not really involved. I'm somewhere else, but whatever. Fine, I'll do it. And in that case, you don't really grow or develop. It just kind of, it is what it is. It remains exactly as it started, an act of doing. V'lachein, therefore, madgesh ha-teira, the Torah emphasizes the pasuk in b'chukoyse, if my statutes, which means obedience, as we said, Telechu. Telechu means omnam kiyom mitzvah sarach lius metech kabal sel. When I observe my Yiddishkeit, it has to be out of a sense of duty. It has to be out of a sense of obedience, knowledge. This is what God said. If God said it, so shall be done, because that's the right thing to do. Aval, kabbalah sel, but this kind of kabbalah sel, this kind of accepting of the yoke, so to speak. Tzicha lichlel hismasros pnimius vehizdaos rigshis. That has to be done with a sense of deep commitment. It has to ultimately be done out of a sense of identifying with the subject. A really devoted servant. Somebody who's really devoted to serving somebody. And what do they want? They get so much pleasure when they're able to do, put a smile on, so to speak, their icon, their idol's face, person that they, so to speak, worship. And I'm using these words loosely, of course, chas v'shalom, not like an idolatry sense. But, you know, a kid idolizes a sports hero, and then he has this opportunity to meet him, and then the sports hero asks him for something, and the kid is like over the moon that he had the opportunity to do it. Yeah, he's listening to what he's being told, but he's so excited about it. He's so happy about it. So, yeah, we should obey. We should listen to Hashem. How should we listen to Hashem? How should we obey? We should obey with a sense of excitement, a better sense of passion. Who are we serving? Who do we have an opportunity to listen to? It's not just something which is done superficially with no interest whatsoever, but on the contrary. It's something which is done with a sense of absolute obedience and devotion, but at the same time of absolute fervor, of absolute emotional engagement, rather than chas v'shalom, clinical detachment. V'kach yesh b'koicha l'havi yesa adam l'deis alas ruchni yes ad bligvul. That can take a person to the highest of levels. You see, because when a person does his Yiddishkeit in accordance with the rubric of your understanding, your passion, your excitement, your hobbies, your interests, that's the frame of your mitzvahs. So then how far can that mitzvah go? It can only go as far as you. You're stuck to you. You're within you. But a person realizes that he or she has this awesome, incredible opportunity to serve the creator of the entire universe and the king of all kings. And I'm obeying what the king says, and I know that everything Hashem says is so much deeper and more profound and greater than I could possibly imagine. And it's my opportunity to serve Hashem in that way. Then I start to do so with a sense of inner passion and joy. I'm delighted to do what I'm doing. And that's the kind of telechu. That's the kind of going forward. That's the kind of progress we should be seeking. So bottom line, I'm going to suggest to you as we conclude today's class that the quality assurances of Torah come out like this then. From the beginning, from the start off from like with the amelim, the amal, the toil in Torah, it comes with the idea that a person has to be koiveya, like the Aruch Hayim says in the Kli Yoker. It comes with the idea of both written and oral. It comes with the idea of day and night. It comes with the idea of learning and teaching. And ultimately, it comes with the idea of obedience. But the kind of obedience that's I understand the great privilege I have. So I understand why I should be obedient. And because I understand why I should be obedient, I'm devoted and dedicated to Hashem. And when I learn Torah in that fashion, when that's what the stuff my Yiddishkeit is made out of and fueled by, then telechu, then the Yid continues to go from strength to strength. And that is the best way to have quality assurance in ongoing and continued Yiddishkeit growth, which hopefully culminates with the great development of the coming of Mashiach. B'mheira u'b'yameinu. Amen.